Good morning, everybody. Each and every time I get up here, I'm just a little bit less nervous than the last time, but still get nervous. And I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to, it helps me study as an individual and I learn more. And for that opportunity, I appreciate that. We all know the story about the sower and the grounds that he sowed on. But let's kind of look at the sower. I know a lot of times we focus on the ground that, you know, we individuals, what kind of ground are we? But let's look at what kind of sower are we. And the story of the sower is found in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Luke chapter 8. It begins, a sower went out. We know at the end of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 says, "There go for make disciples." That's telling us to go be a sower. How did you become a Christian? Were you converted from a religion? Or were you converted from out of the world? Or were you raised in the church? Somebody, more than likely, mentioned God to you. So somebody was a sower to you and you were a ground. Very few people, now I'm not saying that nobody, but very few people just pick up the Bible, start reading it, and follow it. Most of the time, somebody mentions it to them some way, shape, or form or another. So we're all the result of someone's teaching us the blessed good news. Have you, or most importantly, are you returning that favor? In the parable of the sower, that sower is each one of us, spreading the good news into hearts and minds of those around us. Let's imagine living as a farmer. And if we were the type of sower we are with the gospel, put that into perspective as a farmer. Would you be able to survive? Would you have enough crop for next season? Let's look at how we are sowing the seed. How are we sowing the seed of the kingdom? Are we sowing it blindly? Are we just tossing it to and fro aimlessly and see what comes above it? We need to have a purpose. We can't just scatter it just aimlessly. Are we doing it lazily? Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be sowing some seed, but I really don't want to. You surely won't get any crop this way if you sow this way. And it's definitely not pleasing to God. The end of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the latter part of it says, God is a rewarder to those who lazily seek him? No, who diligently seek him. So we have to have a purpose. We need to be sowing the seed with a purpose to save the souls of those around us. Are we doing it randomly? A seed here, a seed there. But if only we think the conditions are ideal. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Preach the word and be ready in season and out of season." It doesn't say be ready just in season or just out of season. It says be prepared always. And that's therefore we can't just randomly plant seeds. We need to plant seed every opportunity that we get a chance, because that one opportunity was us one time. We should be sowing the seed in these ways. We should be sowing it purposefully, strong, evenly, and covering all the ground. It's actually the opposite of doing it blindly. We need to have a purpose. We need to, again, we were that hearer one time. So we need to make sure that we spread the seed so those that are lost can understand. Because that great day that we found the great news could be a great day for them also. Another way that we should be sowing the seed is industrially. We should be working very hard. We should be doing it diligently. This type of sower will reap plentifully, both as a farmer and as a Christian. We should also sow abundantly, freely, selflessly, and lovingly. Each person has the right to know about God and what He has done for us. By spreading the seed like this, we will be pleasing to God. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and start up in 27. John chapter 4 and verse 27. It reads, "Just then His disciples came back. They marveled that He was talking to a woman, but no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' So the woman left her water jar and went to the town. 'Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' They went out of town and they were coming to Him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging the rabbi to eat. But what did Jesus say in return? He says, 'I have food that you do not know about.'" So basically, right here, I'll stop right here. Jesus said that I got other things better to do than to eat. And the food that I need to eat is something that you don't know about. So then the disciples said to another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus replied, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and accomplish His work. Do you not say, 'Therefore there are 4 months, then comes a harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift your eyes and see the fields, are white for harvest. Already the ones who reap is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life." So we go back to verses 27 and says, right here, Jesus is, He didn't screen any prospects. He just went to the lady and did the will of His Father. You know, each person has the right to hear the gospel. It's their decision whether they hear it or reject it, not ours. We have no right to make the decisions for anyone else. We should, like the end of Matthew says, we need to go and preach the word. Verses 31 through 34, Jesus proclaimed to them that teaching was more important than eating. At that particular time, He had one goal in mind, and that was to spread the gospel. Anything else He was doing could have waited. It was a matter of priorities. His priority at that time was to spread the gospel. He used that time wisely, and He didn't make any excuses. Verses 35 and 36 goes into the matter is urgent. This life is short, and you don't know if we'll get a second chance. So don't expect to convert everyone, but we must strive to teach everyone. The reason why I focused on the sower in my lesson instead of the ground, because we are going to be judged how we live our lives, how we spend our time, and the things that we do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for him, what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." We're not responsible for the individuals. When we spread the seed, what the individuals do with what we spread to them, we're not responsible for that. As long as we are spreading the truth, then we're not responsible for what they do with it. You want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12. It says, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it." That day they're talking about right there is the judgment day. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work anyone has built on foundation survives, he will receive the reward. So if the work we did survives, we will receive the reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, that person will suffer loss. But then it goes back to the sower. Then he himself will be saved, not only through fire. So what that's saying right there is, it's our responsibility to go out and teach and preach individuals as we have the opportunity and we can. It's not our responsibility what they do with that word. We should always encourage them, and you know, maybe we only see this person one time. You know, we should try our best and have the opportunity to preach the word, and what they do with that is not our responsibility. God does the increase, and God will grow them as they see fit. As I draw my lesson to a close, we know the invitation song asks, which is the one that Mr. Randy chose today, is, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? My question to all of us, and myself included, is are we? Are we sowing that seed? If there's any need, please come as we stand and sing the song that was selected.